Super League Review with Mark Wilson on Radio Yorkshire.
Craig Harrison is with us as well, the Rugby League agent. Good evening to you, Craig.
Good evening.
What did you make of the World Club Series?
I thought it was fantastic. The result didn't go our way, but I think the promotion were very good. I thought we did our best. A bit of positivity around the place. I thought Russell Crowe missing the Oscars to come to England on a cold night. It's fantastic. So all good, apart from the result. And I think we've got some big lessons to learn on that, but all good.
Phil Kaplan, as always, from 4020, you're with us. Phil, what did you make of the World Club Series?
Absolute apologist for it. I loved it. We behaved, looked and felt like a major sport. It was one of those weekends where it was a joy to get involved in every game. The opposition players, you would have paid good money to go and watch. That we needed to be absolutely on our game in all three matches to get anything out of them. Warrington maybe 5% off what we've seen in Super League, characterised by the fact that Ashton Sims drops the ball on the first tackle, which he hasn't done yet. Joel Monaghan doesn't score in the corner, which he always does. Wigan, heroic in defence, but obviously not quite enough in attack. And Brisbane made three or four great line breaks and just couldn't finish them off. And there was a difference between those two teams, but captivating to go 10 minutes into golden point extra time. And I think that probably overcompensated for the fact that we expected too much from the main game. I don't think it's taught us anything we didn't already know. We were privileged to see an absolutely sensational South Sydney performance, and St Helens three times in the first half were prevented from putting the ball down over the line. If they'd have scored any of those tries, the game would have been slightly different, and they would have scored all of them in Super League, and that was the difference.
Okay. Scoy, what was don't make your big announcement yet, because we've got a new little feature for you, Scoy.
It's called Scoey's Freebie.
It is.
Oh,
how did you know that? What do you make of the World Club Series, pal?
Delighted with it. Everything the lads have said, you know, I can only just back up, realistically. And a pleasure to watch. You know, it's, I think it had everything from a point of view. Again, I'm sure we'll talk about the officials, you know, the way that they refereed it from a different aspect is what we're expecting. But yeah, overall, you know, outstanding and a huge success. One thing for sure, we've got to make sure this concept keeps going. I would add to it, I would add make it a four-team competition. And as I say, not just the Grand Final winners, but also to the Challenge Cup winners goes above that, and then obviously then the second and third places. Delighted, the crowds have proved that, and as we say, okay, last night's game, but quite obviously, you know, you can hold your hands up if you get beaten by a far superior team, and that's exactly what Southport and Fuller deserve the victory.
Okay, anyone that's listened to our show over the last, I think we've been on 4 weeks, I think this is week number five this week, will know that every week Scoey's on, he seems to go away with something for free. I mean, the big announcement, I can't wait for this. When the Rugby League community hear about your big announcement. But the question is, let's just have a recap on what Scoey's won so far, having been a guest on our show. In one, the Czech Republic Rugby League T-shirt. In two, matchday hospitality at the Keithley Cougars. In three, a free lunch at the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats Business Club.
And Scoey's special prize!
A day out at Chester Races with Dr. Marwan Kukash. Well, there you go. 4 out of 4.
I'll tell you what, I must say, thank you very much for that tribute. I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed, well, I haven't been to Chester Races, but I must say, I was at Keithley there yesterday doing the match day host, and I must say how well I got looked after. Terrific afternoon. If anybody's interested, realistically, in maybe just going down to the Cougar May, Old Local Lane, whatever you wish to call it nowadays. You know, the food was excellent, the atmosphere was great, and I say the hospitality was fantastic. But, yeah, the big announcement, quite clear. I was quite astonished and surprised myself. But anyway, I got a phone call last Wednesday from the head of the rugby league team, which a gentleman called Ikram Butt, and he asked me if I would be certainly interested in being part of his national team, which obviously is Pakistan. And quite clearly, he mentioned to me going to Italy for 4 days, and I said, listen, I would be absolutely delighted to be part of your team. And also to, I am going to be, the big announcement is, I am the director of coaching of the Pakistan Rugby League team. Can't wait to get involved. Can't wait to go to Italy and get the first win on the board.
There you
Simple
go.
Simple as that. Well, director of coaching.
You love International Rugby League, Phil Kaplan.
I do.
And now this fella, director of coaching. And this is not a joke, by this is a serious thing. They go to Italy to play the Pakistan team. I mean, well, he's involved again. He's pulled another one.
There's some fixtures coming up for the Czech Republic. His name's been put forward for that as well. Not as a necessarily director of coaching, but in some form of ambassadorial role. So look out for that in the future as well.
Yeah, he's turned up in his Czech Republic. You can't wear that now. Czech Republic t-shirt and you're Pakistan director of coaching.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, I'm an ambassador for the game of rugby league. That's what I will say. I'm an ambassador for this great game of rugby league. And what I will say, if the England rugby league team doesn't want the most capped Great Britain player in the setup, well, here I am. Pakistan, watch out for us.
Yeah, looking for seriously now.
Very much looking for. Yeah,
are we looking forward to
very,
this?
Very much looking forward to it. You know, and dare I say, just quite obviously look at the skill levels and you know a bit of fitness level and all this sort of thing. Yeah, of course we will, because at the end of the day, I'm an experienced rugby league player, as everybody will know there, and I'm looking forward to giving them something what they may not have seen or heard before. Very much, excited, very excited.
You're going to get Ikram in on the show then? We're going to have him in and pick his brains on it.
Yeah, we can get
test
him in
there. Sanity for and giving you that job.
I've got it. Well, I guess that could be another question. I'm sure we'll be saying now. How's your director coaching? He lasted 13 games at Huddersfield, 5 at Barrow, but that was.
Ikram might be listening.
Ikram knows. Realistically, it wasn't my fault because I wasn't into sports psychology, so that's why I got the sack there with a gentleman called Paul Morgan, who's a sports psychologist. What do sports psychologists know about rugby league? Have they ever played the game? That's what I would say to sports psychologists. And second one, with Des Johnson, interfered, wanted to pick the team, wanted to pick the captain, wanted to pick this. Unfortunately, got on the wrong side of him and got the sack. But I'll tell you what, I think I'm a good coach.
You
don't believe in stats?
Phil and Richard will testify to this. Obviously, we hear what tales you tell of trips to Australia when the microphones are off. I mean, Phil, we're worried these lads are going to be getting led astray, aren't we?
I think diet may be a problem and nutrition. I think he'll be leading them to the nearest Pizza Hut and red wine bar.
Tell you what, never did me no harm.
He'll be saying it's all part of team bonding.
Absolutely. Never did me no harm, don't worry about that. I tell you what, our team meetings are going to be very, very enjoyable, I'll tell you what.
I think it's safe to say they'll get an education.
I'll tell you what, one thing for sure, in my team meetings, and also too in the camp where I'm going with the lads to Italy, one thing for sure, it won't be boring. One thing for sure, they'll all have a smile on their face when they're in the hotel, when they're going to training, and hopefully we'll be smiling when we get the victory over the Italians. Very much looking forward to it. 14th of May, we go the 14th of May, and we play on the Saturday, come back on the Sunday. But yeah, very excited. Got a photo shoot on Friday with my presentation on my polo shirt and my tracksuit. So yeah, looking forward to it. Should be good.
Craig thinks he's what he don't know what he's walked into here, Craig. I mean, well, we normally spend 10 minutes talking about what freebies he gets, so we thought we'd just make a promo now. But he's been given the job. Good luck to him, I say.
Yeah, I'm actually looking. Scoia needs an agent. I'm actually available at the moment. I work off 7% for you, Scoia. I'll drop 3.
Yeah. Oh, don't hell your players now. I hope your players are listening to that. What's he getting famous for?
You can tweet us at RL on RY. We had a lot of tweets in earlier on regarding the concept. Alex says it was a great weekend of rugby league, got to keep it going. Kev, who's a Saints fan, said we were rubbish last night. How much longer are we going to keep sticking Wilkin at scrum half? We've got to get some proper cover. It's a fair point. Craig says, oh, Lancashire rugby league fans are welcome to listen. Of course you are. The more the merrier. We had people listening all over the UK last week, and it is. It's a rugby league show. We are. I'm not going to say we're biased towards our own teams, but we do give them preference, but we're willing to talk about anything and everything. Let's get stuck in then to the World Club Challenge. We've got to start with a main event. That was it a main event? Were South Sydney that good, or were St Helens that poor?
Well, the scoreline, I'll tell you that, won't it? 39-0. But I think, realistically, you've got to, you know, applaud the quality of South Sydney. Quite clearly, you know, physically they were far superior. Attacking-wise, skill-wise, they were far superior. And, you know, St Helens just could not handle it. And I can reassure you, them St Helens forwards who have woken up this morning, they will be telling each other, and themselves, my body's never ever felt like this after a game of rugby league. They have not seen anything like it, you know, and that's the difference between the two leagues. And that comment there by the St Helens supporter regarding John Wilkie's never a scrum half, you know, while, you know, whatever, you know, and I say I find it appalling, still appalling, that we're playing loose forward and second rowers at the main position, or one of the main positions on the rugby league field. And everybody who was doing the commentary at the weekend, what was they mainly talking about? The quality of the kicking game of the Australian teams. Well, John Wilkin, why are they giving him a responsibility? First of all, of being an organiser, and secondly, of being a kicking game. Quite clearly, got it wrong. And this, again, the structure of our game, the way it is, at times we went into boring conservative rugby league, we got sucked in there. The Aussies will do it every day of the week. The Aussies will do it every day of the week because that's how they play. So why do we try and copy them? Why are we, and if you looked at the St. Helens performance at times as well, some of them poor wingers and them centres were having to take the drives and scooting from dummy half and just absolutely getting battered. Why don't you move the ball? Why don't we move the ball one and two out there to stop that? That's where your back should be getting the ball. Again, South Sydney Superior Saints, and the fans should not be saying Saints were rubbish. They weren't allowed to play, but quite clearly, South Sydney, sheer quality.
St Helens did create a few chances, didn't they? I think Percival got over the line a couple of times, just couldn't get the ball down. Do you feel had they got on the board early, they would have had more of a chance?
Well, me and Phil have just been saying this before we come in. I thought they did open them up a little bit. I thought they played a little bit, but we don't execute like they do. I don't know. Maybe we can, you know, Scoey knows more about the halfback than I will, but I know that over the years he's right about the loose forward being picked, I think, Sculthorpe, Farrell, you know, then you look at, we've always tried to do that. I don't know. I can't believe that. We create chances, but when they get them, they take them. They're very, very structured, but they're very clinical when it happens. And I thought when we get chances, we haven't got the halfbacks who can do that. That's, for me, the difference in both teams. I know Scully's mentioning the brutalness. I don't know what the yardage was. I didn't know what the stats, whether you study them stats. But I know one thing, every time they seem to get the chance, they take it. And that's ruthless. And that must come with hours and hours on a training field, or it must come with a mentality of a belief. But we certainly don't take our chances anywhere near what they do.
Looking at that result, you know, anyone that's picked the paper up today, St Helens 0, South Sydney Rabbitohs 39, Phil, he's going to think, is this a complete mismatch? What was your opinion?
No, nothing's changed. I think this is the one thing that we all need to realise, is that we are not comparing like with like. The NRL and Super League cannot be compared. Not only in the way the competition is structured and the amount of resources that go into it, but predominantly with the player pool. And you look, for example, at that South Sydney team last night. Yes, they've lost Sam Burgess, one of the greatest rugby league players in world rugby at the moment. Well, one of the greatest players in world rugby. And he will be good in rugby union when he is not bored, stood out in the centres. But they brought in, to replace him, Glenn Stewart. You know, we don't have that embarrassment of riches. St Helens on Sunday night did not have Luke Walsh. They haven't had him for 6 months, and they haven't found a way of coping with that. They won a grand final, to their absolute credit, without having flair players. But you look at the Australian teams, and where I would slightly disagree a little bit with Gary is that I think they can play, and they want to play, and they do play, and it's not about structure. The fact is, the NRL is overly structured because the teams are so equally matched. But when they come here and they've got the chance to move the ball, some of the things that South did instinctively with the ball were sensational. You know, the try that Dylan Walker scored, you know, that's as good as anything that you'll see. Greg Inglis, you know, not only was he stopping people on his own line, but he was becoming this menacing presence in attack as well. They just have a better quality and a bigger pool of player to choose from. We don't. That's why you can't compare like with like. And instead of saying, oh, Saints have got whooped on that one night, which they did and they have been before, we should be saying, let's look at some of the English teams that have won the World Club Challenge. What a tremendous feat that is. And turn it the other way. The fact is, if Wigan and Warrington could have won both of their games, they could have done. Although I do think Brisbane was slightly better than the scoreline suggested against Wigan. I think they made 4 or 5 line breaks, and on that pitch they couldn't get speed going. Milford was getting better as the game went on, but he just couldn't get his feet working because it was a glue pot of a pitch. And to their absolute credit, Wigan stayed in there long enough to take it into golden point extra time, but they were always behind, and Sean Wayne recognised the fact that they were always chasing that game, and if it hadn't been a penalty in front of the post, it might have been a drop goal on the next play, but they probably would have lost that game. But the fact that they were so close in those first two matches is what should give us heart and promise for the future, and don't just look at 39-0 in the main game.
But also, what I was going to say about it as well, though, for when I looked at the first game in Warrington and St George, Warrington they did get sucked into their game plan. Warrington did get into that conservativeness there rather because the halfbacks in O'Brien and Myler, realistically, they just went missing. And I can tell you as an halfback, my role was, you know, to make it short, and I knew what the game plan we was playing and also set the style up. If them forwards got stuck around the ruck area, they'd got out of there because quite clearly we wasn't playing that way.
But
we
was the kicking game of Benji Marshall and Gareth Widdop?
Well, yeah, but
they played the territory magnificent, and that where Warrington's halfbacks fell down was that their kicking game wasn't as good.
Well, exactly, but normally again, week in and week out, it's not bad. But it's the pressure what they get put under by the opposition. But what I'm saying is, from attacking creative point of view, Phil, but Warrington went into that rut well thinking, and Chris Hill. How many times do you see Chris Hill pass the ball? He does it literally every week, doesn't he? You know, at times, and their Sims fell down a little bit from a point of view. But even Tony Smith was very, very disappointed the way that his halfbacks just got sucked in. Didn't take control because that's what you have to do. You have to get your forwards away from that ruck area and get them running on the fringes, because if you don't, the Aussies, as I says, he'll do that every minute of the day, because that's the way they play week in and week out in the NRL.
But you go back to strength in depth, and we lose a player like Stephen Ratchford from the Warrington lineup, and we haven't really got anybody who can replace him, and it looks like a weakness. You look at Brisbane, they can afford to get rid of Ben Barber because they're bringing in Anthony Milford. It's a different depth and level of quality.
The only one on that I'd say is Warrington have actually got a really strong squad, and I agree with Scully a bit. I think the halfbacks, I got asked this year whether I thought Warrington could actually win the grand final. I said they've got the squad to do it. They've got the best youth system I've seen in a lot of years coming through. Some of them kids are going to be unbelievable. I actually questioned whether the halfbacks, did I see Gaz O'Brien and Myler being that grand final partnership we've been brought up here, lucky to have the Leeds halfbacks who've got five or six off there. I actually don't think that's there, and I think when the big games come, it's all right, you're doing it against the teams where you're dominant. When the actual pressure's on, you've got to be able to make that decision in a split second.
Yes.
And like Gary says, maybe even try something that don't come off but have the confidence to do it. I thought they went into the shell a little bit, and do we get that by playing a lot of them games? Should we play more of them games?
I think a lot of it's big game mentality as well, that people like O'Brien, Myler, they just haven't had that exposure to those sort of opponents before. So it's only going to do them a benefit, and they're going to be improved players as a result of that. Again, I don't think you can expect them, when this is the first time they've been up against that, to necessarily take a team around the park. The fact that they were so close is to their credit.
Okay, well, let's hear from one of the coaches involved, and Sean Wayne talking to the press immediately after the game that saw his side beaten at home by the Brisbane Broncos on Saturday night. Wigan 12, Brisbane 14 is what Sean Wayne had to say after.
Well, I thought we asked for it with our completions, and if we'd have been smart with the ball, we would never have got to that, so we've got ourselves to blame. 56% at half-time is just not a way you can play a very good NRL team.
Why do you think the completion rate was poor, though, Sean? Was it
just their defence? No. We made some poor decisions. Our skill wasn't as good as it should be. So it's all us. It's all us. We need to fix it. But what I was very proud of is the way we defended. You know, I think because we turned up so much ball, it took a lot of juice out of our attack. Our attack wasn't very effective. So it's like a knock-on title. You know, you just need to keep hold of the ball, kick long and defend and play the game in the right part of the field. And we didn't do that. It's as simple as that. And when you're playing a quality team, you're going to get burned, and we got burned. So, you know, we got what we deserved there.
Sean, Wayne Bennett didn't know the game was going to go to extra time. Were you aware of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we knew it before the game. So it's just one of them where you just get on with it. You know, they handle it better than us. There's no doubt about that. I'm not weak today. I don't bother with that anymore. With decisions like that, no point.
What about the
charge then? He's a weirdo. If there's one person going to do that, it will be him. He's the one. But I thought he was good. He showed to me he wanted to win. Dan Serge and Mickey Mack, there were some good individual performances. But I knew he was going to do something stupid like that.
Have you ever seen anything like that before?
He does the weirdest things in training. I've never seen it in a game, in an important game. But I had a feeling something like that was going to happen. He wanted to win badly.
Joe Burgess, tough night for him, those early mistakes, but he scored the...
Yeah, yeah, he just needs to be better at that stuff. That's just not acceptable for me. He needed to score. He needed to do something, and he did. He's a good player, but he needs to be smarter. That's not acceptable for me, what he did. When you look at Lockers, when he was John's age, John's way in front, he's a good player, John. He's a competitor. And he's got good skills and he wants to win. And he's going to be a player for us. And I thought he played really well today. He did some really good things. And he's only light. You know, we've not got him to the weight we need him to yet, but he's ticker. He wants to win games. And he's the sort of person I want in my team. He needs to get thicker, and when he gets more mature as a person, he'll thicken out. But he needs to Matt Bickle's working with him, and especially in playing the middle now, he needs to get bigger quicker.
Do you think Joe Burgess's plans beyond this year could have some sort of impact? He's only a kid, and he's got a lot ahead of him.
He's not an immature kid; he's quite a grown up. I don't think that's the case. You know, when he lost the ball in contact today, he was showing to me he wanted to fight and play the ball quickly, and there was hands in, and you know, he just needed to calm down a bit. He was trying a bit too hard sometimes, and I think that's it with Joe. I don't think his mind's on Roosters. I definitely don't think that. If he was doing that, he'd be going to Workington playing for the reserves. When I walked on at the end of the game, I couldn't keep my foot in. It was heavy. It was you know, they've worked hard the ground staff to get it to the state. You know, I saw it this morning. It was in a mess. So they weren't really there, but it was terrible condition. I'm going to look after the players. I mean, fair play to Brisbane. Some of their players not played any games, and that would have been one tough pitch to play on for them. And you know, and there was breaking us in the back end of that game. I know they've worked on it overnight and trying to make it. You know, when we got here, I was amazed how good it was, the pitch, but it soon churned up because of the weather we've had today. There was a foot of snow on it. No, there was a few inches of snow on it this morning, first thing. So they've done well.
Sean, do you think last night's game and tonight's game, one thing that struck me was that the Australian team's kicking game seemed to be a bit more precise and, you know, designed to put pressure on the English teams, probably more than we did to them, really.
Yeah, you know. I agree with that, Martin. I thought they kicked their last players were better than ours. I thought when we got our players on, I thought our players were better than ours, if I'm honest. So there's areas where we can improve, and there's areas where I'm quite happy with. But the fact is, we got pumped, and Warrington got pumped, and I'm in it to win it. I'm playing well, and hard luck stories don't wash away. I just want to win the game, and we didn't find enough to win today.
Your Yorkshire Sports Station. We are Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. We're here through till 9 o'clock. We heard there from Sean Wayne, the Wigan Warriors coach. Any arguments for what he said there, Scoey, about, you know, he's in it to win it, isn't he? But ultimately, not quite good enough on the day.
No, not good enough. Just at times, you know, basic mistakes. And if you do that against, we know what Young Burgess, you know, the mistake he came up with, and you're going to get penalised. But again, the conditions from a point of view. But they got sucked in again to, you know, the boring, conservative, you know, one-out rugby league at times. But also, do we have to talk about them again? But, you know, officials, Bentham came up with some, you know, ridiculous calls and strange ones at times. And, you know, and when you looked at the three referees at the weekend, they didn't give us anything. Any 50-50 call should have gone our way. You looked at that penalty, what Bentham gave for the 2 points. It's a very, very soft penalty. We wouldn't have got that from an Australian official. There's no two ways about that. You looked at the way Fowler refereed on Friday night with that. Certainly, that first one was a sending off. The second one, Benji Marshall did, was a sin binning. You can well imagine, if it happens this weekend in Super League, it will happen, you know. But my question is to these officials is, why did your referees in favour of the Australians? I'll tell you why. Because I want the test match when the Aussies play the Kiwis to see who's the best.
There you go, controversial as that. You can't, honest, now you're involved honest. In an international game, you can't go around making statements like that.
I can because my eyes see what everybody else sees.
Okay.
Quite clearly. And again, I don't like talking about them. Last week I mentioned, you know, at times with officials, why do we try and make characters? And why are we trying to make them personalities? Of these officials.
No, just rugby league. I mean, you take a look at football today.
No, in any sport, why are we trying to make them characters, and why are we trying to make them personalities? They should be there for one thing, that's to officiate the game, right, and not be seen. Okay. And not be seen, because that then is a quality of an official.
I had no problem with the officials. Maybe one minor one. and that is that they didn't tell the coaches that it was going to be refereed in a slightly different way. But the fact is, it was refereed like it was State of Origin, and State of Origin isn't the week-to-week NRL. There was the edict had obviously gone out to let the games flow, and I didn't have a problem with that at all.
Piece in the League Express today, the Aussies are actually quite pleased with how it's how the game.
We're playing it British game here. We're not playing in Australia.
We're playing it Super League.
Hold on. We're playing in Super League. We should be playing our rules because they play different rules there. Plus, as well, the international rules are different. Oh, come on, lads. Please do me a favour.
I don't think the officials determined any of the three games, and that's all you can ask.
All right.
Should he have been sent off then?
No.
Should Benji Meister have got 10 minutes?
Nope.
So if that happens this week then, and it doesn't happen.
But it's different. It's a different competition. This is the World Club Series. It's not Super League. The fact about those two incidents, I think you've got to be there to take the full view of them. I think if you only watch it on television, I hold my hands up. I wasn't there for the Warrington St George game live. I watched it on television. So the pictures I got to see were the ones that the broadcaster sent out. The angles that we see it from are the ones that they show. So I think you'll get a much better view from anybody who was at the game. And if they were at the game and they said they should have been sent off, I would defer to them. But I think that the initial contact anyway wasn't in the head, it was round about the top of the chest or off the ball. But the other thing was the disparity in size. You look at the guys that were hit, and you look at the people that were hitting them, and there is a massive physical difference, and that made it look a lot worse than it was. There was no complaints on the field to either of those two incidents.
Okay, Craig?
There's a room with Phil's willing with RFL, and I think that's just proven it. And we Scully on this all the way. Sorry, Phil. Most referees are failed sportsmen. They've never been able to play any sport, so that's why they're a referee. You won't pick it as a job, much like a politician. So I'm all the way with Gary on this. I thought it didn't make an impact to the result. Phil's right about that. That's 100% sure. But there's got to be consistency. And if Phil's saying that they did change the rules to do State of Origin refereeing, well, I never heard a thing.
And that's what it looked like.
None of lads told me. None of lads have mentioned to me were playing that they were told this by any referee. So either Phil's information is not as good as we think.
That's not information. That's my observation.
That's your observation. Okay. Well, I'm with Scully on this one all the way.
All right. Let's bring in one of our guests tonight, who has played in a World Club Challenge. We don't expect you, Ben Jones Bishop. Good evening. Welcome to you. We don't expect you to comment on referees, mate. We don't want you getting into bother. Let's ask you. You've played in a World Club Challenge. Firstly, what was it like as a player to be involved in a game of that magnitude?
It was a great occasion. One of my career highlights. To test yourself against the best from the other side of the world. The names, when I played against Manly, the Steve Mattis, the Stewarts, those sort of names that you come up against, and you watch them on the TV doing the stuff, and to compete against them and get the victory was a great occasion.
Looking at it from a perspective of the game, the three games, are you a fan of that? I mean, or do you think there should just be the one that involves just the champions?
No, I think the three games series works, yeah, I think so. It was great build up. The Warrington game set it off well, and then obviously the next one was great as well, and the final one as well. So yeah, I think the build up's good. It gives, as I said, the chance to go against your opponents from across the world, which is, yeah, it's great exposure for both competitions and the Super League players.
You played in obviously some massive game for Leeds anyway, but what was it, a different intensity? Was it a different kind of game when you played in that World Club Challenge?
I think it was. I think I did, playing at Headingley as well. That was obviously, I watched the games that were at Elland Road before that, but to be involved in your home stadium playing against the Aussies, yeah, it was a great occasion, yeah.
We understand what Craig told us before the show started, and he just mentioned it, that you've actually trained against one of the Aussie teams last week. What was that like?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, we came up against St George, went a post against them. They move the ball around. How they move the ball around, was great to see. Very organised team, led around the field, and yeah, they look very sharp.
You've just been stuck on the motorway. The M62, one of the joys of going to Salford, I guess. How's it going over there?
Yeah, it's going well. It's as you said, the travelling's the biggest difference. But it's good. Obviously, not the start of the season we wanted, but we'll look to kick on. And yeah, it's as long as you're away before rush hour, you're sweet.
Was it a big decision for you to make that move?
It was a big decision. Obviously, playing, coming through Leeds and playing most of my career there, and the highlights I had there. It's a big decision to move, but you know, sort of being out on the sidelines through injuries, you know, when you're back fit, I just wanted to play rugby, and you know, unfortunately that wasn't the case there. So you know, the move to Salford is, I think, been a good one for me.
Good stuff. And looking forward, I guess, to, you know, like I said, moving up the table. I guess the long term aim is to be involved in games like we've just seen this weekend with your new club.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, that's what everyone aspires to be. You know, in those games and fighting for trophies and playing in the big games. Yeah, that's our aim for this season.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for hearing more from Ben Jones. I've got to be careful now because I've got like a sliding scale. Eh? If Craig and Phil swap seats, we'd have Scully, who's not afraid to say anything, to Ben, who's not allowed to say anything. Don't look at me like that.
Don't ask him who's going to be playing fullback in the next Salford game.
Well, we will. Someone's actually asked on Twitter at RL on RY, is it a joke that you are the new Pakistan director of coaching? Do you want to clarify that?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, that's it.
Why? That's that person. Why are they asking that question?
A rockin' Robin. It was.
Why are they upset
because she said that they're not going to do very well this year.
Who?
The Robins.
They're not.
There you go. Tony has said he hopes that Saints don't move John Wilkin till after Friday night. Of course, St Helens Castleford, one of our three live commentaries this weekend. We're at Headingley.
Do you know what as well? Do you know another thing about that regarding, you know, with the John Wilkin situation, right? If I was John Wilkin, right, I would say to the coach, listen, I'm not a scrum half, I'm not a standoff. Realistically, I'm not really good enough to play that position. I can't bring anything to the team. He should be holding his hand and say, listen, play a proper halfback there. Either we've got somebody in the under 20s or under 19s, whatever it is nowadays. But John should hold his hand and go to the coach and say, listen, I'm no benefit by playing at 7 or 6 because, quite clearly, he can't organise. He hasn't got a kicking game. So it's no benefit to St Helens.
He played there a lot last year.
I couldn't care less how many times he played there. He should not be playing there in the first place.
So, would you have played Paul Wellens at fullback and move Johnny Lomax to scrum half?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. I think that would.
Lomax is an halfback. Hmm? You know, Lomax isn't. Yeah,
I know that his career at St Helens is planned out to be the next fullback, but I certainly would have varied it during that game.
When you're playing against the Aussies, Ben Nair was just telling us regarding, you know, with the training sessions. First thing what they do, they look and they move the ball. When I was playing against the Aussies and when I was playing Test football, we always tried to play with that element of surprise. We would always try and kick the ball into touch on the third and fourth tackle, slow the game down, walk to the scrums, and then we would be looking from the halfway line 40 yards out for the chip over the tops on the second and third tackle and slowing things down from that point of view. The element of surprise. We get into the robotic conservative sort of game, what they want, I tell you, it's meat and drink to them. So that's what our philosophy, our game, the way we are, we should play to our strengths and not try and copy anybody else. And unfortunately, that's what we've done since 1982. We got a little bit closer in my day, and I know we won some World Club challenges, you know, with the clubs, but if you look from the international point of view, we are absolutely miles away. And until we start coming up with the philosophy of us, and I say Ben was saying it there, the way the Aussies train, it's move the ball. When you saw it yesterday with South Sydney, the execution, as we've mentioned, quite simply, we can't match them.
Phil, how do they improve the series then? As in, I mean, well, I'll ask Ben the question, not how do they improve it, but Ben, I mean, for you, would it have made it? It's got to be different if you're playing in that game on Sunday night to become World Club champions, or you're playing in one of the others, which is ultimately a friendly. I mean, how would you approach that? Surely that's got to have an impact in some way.
I suppose, yeah, it might do a little bit maybe, but I think whether you're playing Friday or Sunday, you're still coming up against, you know, a team from in the Australian competition. It's not a game that you go in half-hearted, or it's, you know, we're not fighting for the trophy, so, you know, we'll just see how we go here. I think you go in there wanting to put one over on the Aussies. You know, you want to prove that your team, your competition, the Super League, is as good as the NRL. So I think whether you play Friday Saturday, Sunday. I think, you know, you go out there with the same mindset of coming away with a victory.
Yeah, excellent. I think as well, Matt, what you just mentioned there, I think when we looked at the two games, we was all thinking, well, the first two games, how serious are going to be? Are they going to be friendlies? I tell you what, the way they played, they weren't friendlies, were they?
No, well,
they, you know, the way the both teams got stuck into each other, they surely weren't friendlies, were they?
Scoring on Friday night, how many football friendlies? You see England playing whoever they play, even Brazil or whatever. It's never like that. Yeah. It's never at that intensity. The question then for me, do they need to incorporate it, Phil, so that all the teams involved can win it? Or do they keep the format roughly as it is now?
There is a school of thought that once this is bedded in and possibly become a four-team competition, that it's played over two weekends and it starts level and it's a knockout. And I think there's some merit in that. But I'm not sure you can move to that from nothing. I think there is a gradual stepping stone. Just I haven't found it yet. I was trying to find a quote of Wayne Bennett's. Wayne doesn't say a lot, but what he says you really need to listen to, because he is the super coach.
We were working a bit like out. Me.
I think you're over-egging yourself there. Probably, I've got to be honest.
Probably comparative career record.
I need an agent, Craig. Come on, Craig, I need an agent. Step in.
We were working out that he'd coached his first World Club Challenge in 1992, so to be again coaching in one 22 and a half years later in that series, that says everything about him. But he was saying, you know, quite rightly, that the sport isn't big enough to turn these kind of opportunities down. If you've got three virtual full houses, if you've got teams prepared to travel halfway around the world, and if you've got matches where everything is put on the line by the guys that are playing in it, you've got a concept. Yeah. And we've really got to keep this going.
Yeah, we will hear from him in a bit. He might well have that.
I think that says it all. Yes, you can tinker with it. I know Russell Crowe was talking about taking it to Las Vegas. He actually wants the top four teams to meet each other post-season over a round of games in a foreign country. One thing we will talk about is how do we improve. I'm sure that'll come up later in the show, and the answer is we play less games, and Shane Richardson has said that as well while he's been over here, and his new role is going to be absolutely vital to what we do over here. But to play less games, you've got to create things that will fill that void, some of which will be international, some of which will be expanding this concept, because we can't expand it while we're playing 30 regular season matches.
Who's not talking to who then? Because our competition has just gone to 30 games, hasn't
that's
it, in a regular
the issue.
Season. So
and that
who has authorised that then, without looking at the bigger picture? Craig, I know you had concerns for some of your players. They've been asked to play more rugby, you know, than ever. That's not going to lead to better rugby, is it, surely?
I think if you ask multiple players against, I don't know if lads agree with me, against training, you'd rather play, wouldn't you? If you got a choice, if you got a choice and you said to the lads, right, you've got three games this week, or they'd say three games with no training. I've never heard a player I've got who would not say that.
I agree. I would rather play than train. Training's boring.
Yeah.
It is.
And they'll all say that. To get involved in a game of that magnitude, which, by the way, I think they upped the game this time, the odds is because three teams went over, got a lot more publicity. They actually had to put it on the line. I think that added to them coming over. I've been around the lads when they've come over before, and I'm sure they like a beer, they have a social, they come to England. But I think this, because it actually got marketed a lot better, and there were three teams, probably 80, 90 Aussies over here at one time, I think they actually came to win all three, and they did the business. We've got to up our game now. It's going to be us now to say, right, what do we need to do for when they come next time, or we go there and we give them hell. And I'm a big believer in what we do. I know what youth and the talent they've got there. I think a big thing needs to be addressed. It's the type of coaching. This is my belief, and I've said this for years. I think we've got the quality young kids. I see them every day in my life. Whether they get coached in the same manner or the same quality as what some of the halfbacks and some of the players, I'm not so much saying the backs as such as the forwards, sorry. I think some of the halfbacks, I believe, and I think I've said this for 3 or 4 years, I'd love my halfbacks to get individual coaching. I'd like somebody to come in outside of the club. I'm thinking of Scully again.
I'm here.
I'd love someone to come in and actually come and say, right, twice a week or once a week with the coach, and he says, look, I want him to work on this, and somebody individually. If I told you how many times any individual player of mine, my halves, get coached individually or actually get reviews individually, it's minimum. I know for a fact Johns and them in Australia are getting paid fortunes to sit with halfbacks from an age of 16. He's just done Forlan and Cherry Adams. He's sat with them. He gets paid X amount to actually execute. I were there when we chatted about it last time. I think we need that. And I think if we got that, I'm telling you, I think we've got the talent, the athleticness. They're not better than us. It's just little bits and we're going to sort ourselves.
Well, I'll tell you what here, Craig. Andrew Johns, not this Christmas, last Christmas, phoned me, and as you just mentioned, Fallon, Kieran Fallon, is one of his guys who he looks after. And Andrew Johns phoned me, and he'd been watching videos when I played against New Zealand in 1990, and he put Kieran Fallon on the phone and really, I'm not making this up. And so I say, Andrew Johns phoned me from Australia to speak to one of his clients there for, and realistically, to ask the question, Scotty, when you was going to the line, what was you thinking? Well, I said, what I was thinking was I was putting that defensive line in three minds. First of all, do I go to the line and shut the shoulder dummy and go? Secondly, do I hit my lead runner? Thirdly, do I hit the dummy runner? So my process was, quite clearly, putting that defensive line in three minds.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody tells that RPAC nowadays and what have you, because it's easily done if that RPAC gives a time there. Because if you look at the dummy runners today, right, because any dummy runner who's been a dummy runner for me, I would be saying to him, expect the ball all the time.
Yeah.
Expect the ball all the time. Don't be just going there and you think as though you're not involved, because you are going to be involved. You know. And Andrew Johns phoned me personally to speak to one of his customers. I said, well, one of his clients, whatever you want, and Kieran Foran, spoke to him and told him about that. I'm here. Do you know what? I'm here free of charge to get involved with any halfbacks who want to listen and learn. I know what the kicking game's all about. I know what patience is all about, because when you look at the game of rugby league, it's for 80 minutes. You're a halfback, right? You only need to come up with one special player once in every 10 minutes. So you might say, what, you're going to touch the ball 8 times? Well, I'll tell you what, that 8 times, I can guarantee you, I will create between 4 and 5 tries. 4 and 5 tries, you kick the goal, you win the game. You do not need to be involved. But all you need to do is read and read the game. The awareness and the vision what you have. And that's what halfbacks should be doing.
Okay.
Simple. It's simple if it's taught right.
Alright, fair enough. Let us know at RL on our wire. Lee is Halifax fan. He says, well said, Gary, fed up with copying the Aussies. He said, only man that talks sense. We'll see about that. As for calling the World Club Series friendlies, he said, is the State of Origin Series friendlies too? No, it's not, but I'd argue you win the you win the series, therefore there is something on the line, Craig. I'd slightly disagree.
Do you know what's quite interesting as well? We're talking about the great man himself, Wayne Bennett. You know, I spent 10 days with Wayne Bennett when I made a Huddersfield coach in 98. What a great man, and they say the way he's deep thinking of the game and as a person, sensational person. But what were quite interesting, what I read this morning, Wayne Bennett didn't even know it was a series. He just thought we'd come over here to play one game. He didn't really know it was classed.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He didn't even know it was Golden Point extra time.
Well, yeah. Well, let's hear what he had to say, Wayne Bennett, talking to the media after the game, and Phil said, well worth having a listen to.
Yeah, there was a bit of drama. I've certainly never seen the charge down before in our game. So I've got to
did you miss that, Wayne? Because I think you jumped up and you were going down to...
No, I was down there. No, I just couldn't work out what happened. I just couldn't see it clear enough, and I thought he's kicked the tee. I thought, I can't believe that he's kicked the tee, and then...
Yeah.
And someone said someone's charged the ball down.
Did you think it was a penalty, or did you see that?
I didn't. Well, the ref was right on it. I saw the replay. You know, it was a big call.
Mm.
Yeah, but anyway, we got it, so.
Do you think a draw might have been a fairer result?
Yeah, I had taken a lot of notice of the rules, so I didn't even know we're playing extra time. I couldn't believe we're playing extra time. I don't know what that was about. I still don't know what it's about.
You're aware that if you didn't get the penalty goal, you would have been turning around and playing again until
it was... Yeah, well, they told me that when I came down the sideline. When the staff time were coming down, there was going to be extra time, and I'm in denial about that. Well, why the hell would we want to play extra time? It's not a fixture match. It's a one-off exhibition game, per se. Really, it's nothing. You're not playing for anything else except a bit of your pride and your club.
Now, you've just won the series 2-0 for Australia.
Well, I didn't know it was a series until you just told me either.
So that's why there's extra time in all the games.
Oh, well, no one's talked about that time it being a series. And I certainly didn't know that was the case.
You're pleased about that?
About the result? That we won the series for Australia. Well, that was my priority.
Would you want to come again, Wayne, having experienced this tonight? You know, even if you weren't, you know, if you didn't win the grand final in Australia, would you still come as the second or third team?
Yeah, well, to me, they're not really debatable issues. I mean, you got a ground that was sold out here tonight, and that's the best endorsement we've got for what we've done. And you had a great crowd at Warrington last night, and I'm sure tomorrow they tell me it's pretty close to a sellout as well. It's a bit like the Nines, you know. You've got 50,000 people want to turn up on a Saturday and Sunday in New Zealand to watch rugby league being played. And our game's not that great that we can't afford to take these opportunities. So, and it was a great atmosphere tonight. Everybody, they'll remember this game for the rest of their life at the last instance of nothing else. But it was a great contest between two teams that were, there was no exhibition game. It was far from, so it was genuine, it was real. And we weren't playing for the World Club Challenge, which is on tomorrow, of course, but in the sense of the two grand final teams, so the winners. But everything else, we played as hard as any other team's going to play, I can tell you, both top sides.
Andrew, there's a few times last year when you sort of lost games late, so was extra time a good from that point of view that it didn't happen to you again tonight? You actually did manage to get the result?
Oh, yes and no. Like, I guess, you know, for what Wayne said, it's a bit of a trial hit out for us with a lot of new guys coming in to gel. So we can't recap on last year. Things have changed for us, and different halves as well. So, but in saying that too, the forwards really rolled their sleeves up, and we played simple footy and executed. And those results go your way when you're doing that. And full credit to not just the forwards, but obviously outside backs tackled well as well. We completed really well, we thought. Wayne was happy about that, and that's something we spoke about before the game.
Andrew, there was only one referee. Did you notice any difference in the tempo of the game?
Oh, I guess if it was dry, I might have. But, being a wet pitch, it was a bit slower and a bit more of a slug. But full credit to the ref, he was really approachable. He spoke to the players and both sides. Coming over here, you don't know what to expect sometimes. But, full credit, it was really easy to approach and, got on really well.
The crowd was wonderful. They were cheering them on all night. They were totally involved. I don't think anyone will leave you disappointed tonight. Maybe with the result, but not in terms of the game of football.
Full credit to the crowd, too. They turned out numbers, and that's what you expect. Vocal crowd, and that shows their passion, So that's all part of it, mate. Obviously, they might attack you a little bit personally sometimes, but, it's all in good spirits and... the game result ended in our way, and I guess the boys just were just happy with the win.
What were your memories of Anthony Gelling charging the kick?
What were my memories of it?
Never seen that before.
Yeah, if Wayne hasn't seen it, I definitely haven't seen it. So I think even his own players were a bit confused of what actually happened there. So,
I loved he gave stuff. Himself a clap coming off. I thought that was the best part of it. So I made a goose of myself, so I'm trying to get out of this as best I can.
The crowd loved it. They got him staring
at. Well, they did. When he started clapping, when they got in, that's what he did. He brought the crowd into it. It was great. So, but it was just part of the occasion tonight. There was just a bit of everything in it. It was just good footy. I enjoyed it. I wasn't sitting there not enjoying what we were doing. I thought it was just great for the game.
Your Yorkshire Sports Station. We are Radio Yorkshire.
Well, the big question is, Scotty, are Pakistan going to play five drives and a kick?
I'll let you know with the result after Italy. No, I can tell you that. Not at all. Not at all. They're going to play with a smile on their face. They're going to express themselves, and hopefully... we're going to win the game by playing smart, attractive rugby league.
Okay. If you want to get in touch, at RL on RY, you can. Neil tweeted in, said, Wigan, Brisbane was no friendly, it was brutal. He said, hashtag brilliant. Early Bird comes up with this could be a good point. He said, we have too many ex-forwards coaching. Webster at Wakey will develop. Miller as his halfback. Mm-hmm. He never had that at Hull. Just an example.
Like it.
And he comes back in and said, another example, Powell at Castleford created a great team based around his halves last year. Maybe the ex-backs have more brains. Well, Scotty, maybe you got missed out on that one, but it's what you've just been saying off air. The backs, they're getting caught. They probably, you would figure that Darryl Powell is able to coach his halfbacks and Webster because he knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
Exactly, it's called experience, isn't it? And that's what it's all about. Somebody who's played at the highest level, he's just passing that experience on. Simple.
Danny Orr as well at Castle.
Yeah, it's a simple rugby league is a simple, basic game. You catch, pass, tackle, and support, and that's it. And that's it. And that's what Pakistan will be doing to get the victory over Italy.
You've also got to have a quality of player.
Yeah,
as well. And yeah. I think that what we shouldn't lose sight of the fact is that Australia do have a massive pool of players to choose from. It's the first choice sport in the two biggest states, and you can ship players on who don't meet the highest quality thresholds. Here, we've seen teams with a couple of injuries, and they are different teams playing in a different style because we haven't got that ability to manufacture another player from within a squad, partly because we don't operate under the same salary cap.
Okay, good stuff. We are joined by Ben Jones, Bishop of the Salford Red Devils. Ben, I mean, your agent's here, so we could have asked him, but I'm sure you had lots of offers when it became known you were going to leave Leeds Rhinos. Was there anything from the NRL? Did you ever think I might have a go at that?
Yeah, I thought about it. I think where I'm in my life and things, I'm getting married at the end of the year and things like that, had an influence on that as well. But it's definitely something that you think of, and you know, maybe it might come back up, maybe it might not. But you know, I was happy with the decision I made.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. And life at Salford. Big question is, Dr. Kukash invited you to Chester Races, like he asked Scully.
Yeah, I've been with him. Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Hey,
oh. Here we go.
Hey, listen. Let's remind Ben here, and remind everybody here. Mr. Kukas had invited me because he didn't know who the bloody hell I was, but he does now. He does now. After saying, "Who's he? Does he work for the RFL? Has he ever played the game? Does he ever say anything about the game? Does he ever played?" Well, he does now, and Miss Marwan, I can't wait for the great day out.
Yeah. Life at Salford, good, enjoying it?
Yeah, it's very good, yeah, enjoying it. Yeah, as I said, you know, the biggest difference was obviously the travelling. You know, I live 15 minutes away from where we train at Leeds, so it's, you know, the travelling's very different. But the training-wise, you know, it's, I'm sure most teams are doing the similar things, you know, this pre-season, and yeah, the skill and the players that we've got there, it's exciting. You know, obviously it hasn't clicked the last 2 weeks, and you know, especially last week, we were very disappointed in the way that one ended up. But you know, we've had 2 weeks to build for Hull this Saturday, and yeah, we're looking forward to that.
I say, Ben, just a question for myself, and after that game against St Helens, and Yestin said straight after the game, the players themselves have got to look themselves in the mirror after that performance. Have the players done that? Because surely you're a far better team collectively. As individuals, we all know what quality you've got to do, but surely you're a far better team than that, Ben, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what we did. You know, we went away for the weekend and come back on Monday. We had a meeting, and you know, we thrashed it out, and we've worked hard last week, and you know, today as well, and going forward towards Hull. But yeah, we're bitterly disappointed with that showing, and you know, as you said, we're a far better team than that, and you know, we should be putting up better performances than that.
Okay, good stuff. We will be looking forward to the next round of Super League fixtures. Also, we're reviewing the Championship as well. Bradford getting their first win, another good win for Featherstone as well. But Lee, march on. Craig Poskett was a guest on our show, so it was a cracking game at the Shear. Well, I saw a picture of the pitch earlier, it was underwater, wasn't it, half of it? So didn't quite lead to a classic, I don't think, in terms of rugby league skill, but in the balance right until the end. And Scott, you'll pick Lee 2 out of 2.
Yeah, quality, aren't they? You know, I think it showed again yesterday with the league team. Whatever conditions, they can adapt a little bit, can't they? You know, as I say, they like to throw the ball about, and they're a very well balanced team, but they like to tough it out when the conditions are there. So yeah, Lee, well, as I've said before, and I'll repeat myself again, by far the best team in the Championship, and they're going to win it. It's as simple as that. But what I will say, so I got invited to Halifax yesterday, but unfortunately I was committed to Keithley, and he jumped on the bandwagon. Did Lee Crooks? He's jumping on the bandwagon.
Is
the
he?
Freebies. Crooksy. Not having it.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure you'll have something else to tell it. We're going to improve. We'll play that bullseye thing again, you know, just to let everyone know what you have had on the back of being on this show. We should be on. Never mind. We should be your agent. Never mind, Craig. At RL on RY on Twitter, you can get in touch. We're talking all things rugby league. Plenty of debate going on. I think you've stirred up a hornet's nest regarding the coaching. You know, and it is what it is, I guess, isn't it? You know, people have their own opinion on everything. I think the overall opinion is the series was a success and we want to see more of it, but I think also we want at some point English teams to be doing well and doing well year in year out.
I think there's two different issues here. One is, was this series valuable for the sport of rugby league in terms of its visibility and profile?
Well, 50,000 people went through the gates.
But I honestly thought as well that the sport grew up a little bit this week with the coverage that it had. There were feature interviews in newspapers, there were film premieres, there were dinners. The last leg on Channel 4 had Russell Crowe as the guest talking about rugby league, and then the presenters of that programme went to the game or interviewed at the game. I just thought this is the platform rugby league should be on. That's the first issue, that if we we should pay credit to the people at Salford, and particularly, you know, Blake Solly, Mark Foster and his team over there that have actually administered this competition. If they have come up with an event that have gained us the kind of publicity that we've been itching for, then that's the first box ticked. The second box is a completely different one about how you get English teams to be more competitive. But I don't think, again, we should get too carried away with the fact that we're looking at the final game to judge the whole thing on. By, you know, Saturday night, Twitter was alive with people saying this is wonderful and what a great spectacle and two wonderful matches and inches away from winning both of them. Some of those same people that were saying how wonderful it was were bemoaning the fact that St Helens didn't come to the party on the Sunday. Let's not view it on the one game that everybody will see as the top of the tree. The under the two that underpinned it were fantastic for the sport.
Well, you just mentioned a comment there, Phil, but, you know, Sid Tellens, you know, they didn't come to the party. Well, they did come to the party, but unfortunately, they were just beaten by a far superior and better team, both physically and skillfully. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we've got to hold our hands up and admire how good a team South Sydney are. It's as plain simple as that.
I think same with football with the Champions League. I think this could be the same kind of thing. I think we need to be involved in it at the start, because I think that's where it could end up. It could end up, maybe even more important, some internationals, the way that game's going. I think Phil's right to say, the way they promoted it, I can see it being fantastic. Four teams, knockout, whatever they do it, we've got to go with it, because that generates anything that generates publicity for our game and enables us to get an higher salary cap eventually, and we can keep some players. I think somebody's quoted this morning and saying if you pick the England side tomorrow, there'd be 7 to 8 players who are in the NRL, I think, would actually start in that. That's scary, isn't it? That's a scary thing to think. It's like us saying the English football team, we can't get a good team because we haven't got anyone playing in our premiership who can be selected. We've got to create that so we can drive up marketing, we can drive up more money, Sky can give us more money, we can get these players to be on more money, keep them all in, and our competition will get better.
Someone mentioned, I heard it mentioned over the weekend, get Catalan involved, get the New Zealand Warriors involved. Is that the way that this tournament could expand?
That's one of the ways it could grow, yes. I mean, I think if we're serious about, again, I'd go with Craig on Champions League. I'd also equate it, as I think others have, to the Ryder Cup. And I think you are coming to Europe against Australasia. Well, how do you involve more people, more countries? You put in the New Zealand Warriors, and you put in the Catalan Dragons. You would hope that Catalan may qualify as of right. But I think because the Aussie teams at the moment are invitational, and again, we too many people got carried away with that, saying we've lost to teams that were 6th or 8th and 11th last year. The fact is that any team in the NRL any given year can win that competition, and it doesn't matter where you finish the year before, it's where you start the following year. So I think that's one thing. They were invitational teams. We should also be allowed, if we're going to expand this, and let's not rush, let's have at least 2 or 3 years, and I think the next one it will be over here for certain, and I think they're hoping in the third year it might go over to Australia. If we're going to expand it at some stage, then let's look at some discretionary places, let's bring the Catalan team into it, and let's let France have a taste of this, and let's see what the media coverage is over there, because there has been yes, Russell Crowe was a one-off, his team were involved, and yes, he had a film out, that his first directorial debut, which he wanted to promote, no problem with that. If you can link the two together, brilliant. If we can get A-listers saying I'd rather be at Langtree Park than at the Oscars, fantastic, let's get on the back of that. But I think you'll find people like Wayne Bennett and Shane Richardson going home and saying this is a concept we've got to get behind and we've got to support, and we should encourage them to do that.
Yeah, mentioned there, but also too, I think what we've got to be careful of here, we've got to make sure that it's quality rather than quantity, isn't it? You know, you mentioned the Catalans. Well, we mentioned Catalans for what? Because it's supposed to be Super League Europe. No, not for mine. No. Catalans don't deserve to be there. No.
You don't think that, you know, taking a team there would? I mean, Ben, you've played in Catalan. What's it like going there as an Englishman? Is it quite a hostile place to play rugby?
Oh, very. Yeah, very. You know, they make an awful lot of noise. There's places that, you know, other grounds as well that do similar, but yeah, it's very noisy over there. They've got the drums and all sorts, and yeah, it's a tough place to go.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think you've got to take a step back here, haven't you, and say, you know, audience wise is that going to do more promotion? I mean, it almost like a test match, wouldn't it, for Catalan? Is that the way we've got to go initially?
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
What you're saying, Scully, maybe right now they don't, I mean, but hang on, 2 weeks ago you're telling me they've got a chance of winning the competition this time.
Well, they have, haven't they? To be honest with you. They have, but if they get there by rights, fair enough, but not, as an invitation, no, not for mine.
But I think it's like what you said as well, they are a different proposition at home. Mm. Their fault over the last few years has been their away form, but at home it is a fortress. They don't lose very many games. They have got 9,000 or 10,000 that go and support them every week. It is a hostile environment. It would prove a real challenge for an NRL team, and it would there were French journalists coming over here for this weekend, and there was no French involvement. You can imagine that, in the same way that we've got somebody like Jonathan Liu in the Daily Telegraph writing features about rugby league this week, that L'Equipe, who we can't seem to get consistent coverage in, would cover something like this. This was one of the biggest sporting events of the weekend, and it wasn't the one match, it was the weekend.
I
got one for the players, I'm sure. If you look at the people who've never played for England against it in a test match, this gives them kids, that could be our origin, where Absolutely. We look at select players. I think that Steve Mack needs to look and think, you know what, my God, I thought Greenwood, oh my God, he's in there, he's got a mentality, he wants to smash him, he's not bothered about reputations. I think he ragged a couple of them at play at ball, and we're like, come on, this is what we need. So I think Steve Mack needs this, and we need it as a thing. So if you've never played in that arena, Bishop just said one of his greatest moments were playing in the World Club. Well, what a great thing that we give these kids a chance to do that. And then Steve Mack on the back of it, or the England coach, can say, you know what, yeah, I like it, he can step up. Because how many times have we played players, and when they've got in the cauldron, they're not up for it?
Doesn't that go back to exactly what you were saying right at the very beginning, when we were talking about Myler and O'Brien, that's the first time they've really experienced anything like that? They've not come up against halfbacks of that quality in a game of that intensity on a regular enough basis. Yes, they played in the odd final at Wembley, but the more you expose these kind of players, if they played that game the week after, the experience they've learned would have made them better players, and we just need to keep this going.
Ben, did you know, when you played at, I mean, you played at the top level in England anyway, but do you feel when you challenge that bit more like you were against Chelsea, did that just bring a little bit more out of all the guys in the team?
Yeah, definitely. As a player, you want to play against the best, you want to test yourself against the best, and definitely playing against the best week in, week out, or as often as you can, brings you, improves you as a player.
Yeah.
But also, let's put all this in a little bit more context now. Haven't we got rid of two teams in Super League to make it lesser games? Haven't we got it?
It more games.
That's made it more games, because I realise only 12 teams in, and they're going to do that. They've made it more games. But what I'm saying is, here we've made it lesser teams, because it was supposed to bring more intensity to match the Australian teams, the NRL intensity week in and week out. Quite clearly, we're not getting that yet.
Well, we've only had it 2 weeks, to be fair.
Well, do we honestly believe, listen, let's be honest about this, do we honestly believe we will get the intensity week in and week out like they have in the NRL?
No, because not all teams in the top flight spend the salary cap. That's the first thing.
So we're blaming money, that's why we're not good enough, as I always say.
Money helps.
I actually think, though, compared to the last 3 years, I want a big lever in the franchise. They say they need it so they can sort the bad clubs from the good and the way they run. But the intensity in both divisions so far has been 100 times better than the last 3 years, because I've sat on the ground and watched it, and I've thought, my God, every single game I've watched so far has been all right, competitive, it's been fantastic. I think that the threat of relegation is making everyone, I'm sure Bish is better than us at telling this, but I'm sure every player I talk to, they're actually feeling the pressure after 2 games. They're actually talking to you saying, oh my God, it's cranking up the pressure already. So Bish, have you got...
Yeah, there's obviously, it's a new competition, 23 games. Obviously, a lot of teams wanting to get points on the board early. And as you said, certain clubs haven't got any. And, things are, I wouldn't say panicking, but, slightly concerned. I think the intensity has been good. And hopefully it'll continue as it goes on. Yeah,
I think as the season gets older and we start to see who's where, for instance, if Wakefield were to keep winning, who are one of the favourites to be in the bottom four, let's be fair, we'd have all said that's where they'd be. If they keep winning and put points on the board, then people like
I'm going to put the pressure on a little bit to all us here now. All right, we were mentioning Wakefield here now, and it's a great start. How many of you... Right, I'll ask you the question, Matt Wilson. I'll ask you the question, Phil Carr. I'll ask you the question, Craig Harrison. Will Wakefield finish in the top eight? Straight answer, yes or no?
Yes. No.
Phil? Yes or no?
No.
Craig?
Would have said no, now I'm yes. Wakey, shaky, wakey, yeah.
Another what? There you go.
Okay. Is there a forfeit riding on this, or what?
I think it might be. I won't accept any more invitations. And how's that?
I believe that one.
From Wakefield.
I believe that when I see it. Yeah. Alan has tweeted in. I think Rich has tweeted the picture at RL on RY. He said, didn't think we had proper scrums anymore. He said, at least he knows where all the pies went. I think Ben Jones Bishop's the biggest athlete we've ever had in this studio. So that's a bit harsh on him. Keep your tweets coming in. The early bird's got a bee in his bonnet. He said, he thinks that the forwards coach Biff, not Skill and Guile, and he'd go for the four. He'd have four games at one venue like the Magic Weekend, get 60,000 in each day. Phil,
I have to say that one of the greatest nights I have ever been at was the World Club Challenge game at Headingley, and to have a stadium full is one thing, but to have it full of one set of fans is something else. Because if you go to Langtree Park and it's sold out for a Wigan Saints derby on Good Friday, that's, you know, half and half. So yes, it's a fantastic atmosphere, but when one team's doing well, the other team isn't cheering. If you've got a stadium that is full of the fans of only one team, like it was on Saturday night at the DW Stadium, that the 20,000 fans there were almost exclusively Wigan fans, that is a different atmosphere. It's a different place. I think clubs need to experience that. There were a couple of clubs this time that decided that they weren't in a position to take fixtures should they have got them. I think Huddersfield were a little bit reluctant. It was also difficult for them, bearing in mind that they share with the football ground, to know that they even have access to their stadium. But how are we going to grow a club like Huddersfield's support, let's say, if that's been their Achilles heel? Not that what they've done on the field, but increasing numbers through the gate. If they'd have played in one of those games this weekend, they would have at least doubled, probably trebled their average gate, and all of the people in that ground would have been supporting Huddersfield. That's the way to grow a club. We need to take them to the home grounds of the teams that deserve to play it. I think if you had a neutral venue over a couple of days, then it would distill it. I think the Aussies loved the atmosphere. Listening to all of the Australian players and coaching staff that were interviewed after all three games, they all made a point of saying, we absolutely love the atmosphere over here, the singing, the chanting. Wayne Bennett was talking about Anthony Gelling in his piece there. He loved that. He, you know, 150 years he's been a coach, he'd never seen anybody charge a kick down. He was laughing at that, but then he praised Gelling for saying that when he got the yellow card and walked round the ground, the crowd were cheering and applauding, he was whipping them, and Bennett loved that, because that was the atmosphere that he wanted his players to play in. So, No, keep it at the home grounds. It is really special.
Yeah, I'll agree, Phil, as well, too, because one gentleman who would have been hugely disappointed that his team wasn't involved, because I think he was involved in the organisation, would have been Gary Everington. You know, it was, you know, Gary's baby a little bit, wasn't he? And, you know, as Phil mentioned, the huge crowd and the atmosphere would have been, and I would imagine Gary would have, I think, if he went to any of the games, he would have been sat in the stands thinking, oh, you know, we should have been playing ahead on this, but unfortunately they didn't earn the right. But as I say, I would make it a 4-team competition: the Challenge Cup winners, and the second and third who finish there, and bring the best of the Aussies over. It's been great. It is. It's quite simple.
So
it's
Challenge
been great.
Cup winners and the top three. Is
yeah.
What you say?
Well, yeah, the grand final winners, and then the second and third, or third and fourth, if whatever they are, without a doubt. Yeah, make it a 4-team comp.
Good stuff. Ben, you've played in it. Was it a different atmosphere when you played in it, you know, in Leeds?
Yeah, it was, as Phil said. As you know, you've got your home fans, you know, it was unlike any other, you know, home game. It was incredible. Just the noise and just the atmosphere before kick-off as well, and then obviously afterwards as well, you know, the victory as well. Yeah, it was a great night.
And the guys, you'll obviously know some of the guys that have played. Did they enjoy it? Have you spoken to any of them, or will you speak to any of them?
No, they loved it. As you said, you know, as you said before, to test yourself against, you know, the best from you know, in Australia, is, you know, that's what you play for. You know, you play to play in the big stages against the best, and as I said, it brings out the best in you.
Okay.
Just one there on Gary Etherington. The rumour was he went into the change rooms after the Challenge Cup final, and as the lads were having a nice beer and celebrating what they'd achieved for the first time, he actually stood there and says, "Well done, guys, but remember, you've got to finish in the top three to get in that." And as 18 cans into my back at Eddie, he made his way out. Just a rumour.
Okay, fair enough. Ben, I need you to close your ears for a few minutes, because we're going to talk about Gareth Hawke. So, Ben, you're excused from this one. Richard Cosmala tweeted in earlier, at RL on RY, Gareth Oxgoey. Doing him bother again.
Yeah.
What do we do with him now?
Well, most certainly deserved a 6 week ban, didn't he? Or 6 matches, I should say. There's no two ways about it. He just cannot, you know, go about what Gareth did. We know what a good talent he is, what a good player he is when he wants to be. But then once he loses his head, once the frustration sets in, he's just a loose cannon. I'm sure Yestin there and everybody at the club are looking at a team ethic. Can Gareth fit into a team? I'm afraid
he did it with Nassau, didn't he?
At times, but it's like anything else now. Everybody's asking the same question and everybody's coming up with the same answer. How many more chances does Gareth Oak deserve, and does he deserve any more? Quite simply, he doesn't.
Okay, Craig, you're an agent. If I'm presuming he's not one of your players, but if he was, what would you be saying to him now?
Listen, for me, as an agent, you get a phone call. If you've got a character who you know is like that, they know what they're getting, they know what's on the tin. That, let's be honest, you taking Gazzock on is not the least. This is the last chance saloon. He's had more last chance saloons than Jesse James, hasn't he? So let's be honest. I would say you take on the character of the man. Can you curb it? I don't know, because like Gary said, every time he gets into a frustrating thing, and certainly the second game was frustrating, he's likely to try and throw an arm or an eye shot or do something to... But I'm saying at recruitment stage, and we get this quite a lot, when you're putting a team together, you don't sound surprised if Gazzock does that. You can't, though, unless you've not watched rugby league for the last 8 years. So for me, I'd say the coach has a big decision to make when he's recruiting somebody like that. You go through everything and you say, what? I know Gaz is going to lose 7 or 8 games a year, but what I get out of him from other ones, is it worth it? He makes that call and lives with it. I don't believe in slaughtering somebody after it happens. You do not get Gazzock and then start moaning if that happens. Not for me, anyway.
Okay. Well, somebody sent me a message last week over the last 4 years regarding Gareth, and over the last 4 years, he could have played 102 games. He's been banned over the last 4 years for 102 games. Plenty for, obviously, we know with the drug ban. Sorry, 69 games with the drug ban, and they were 33 of his own doing. Would you, as a coach, would you want to in today's game? Would you want to look at that as a player?
But again, they get that choice. And secondly,
I understand what you're saying.
What's the other option for Gareth? What do you do? Chuck him in? I don't even want to do it. We're on about these things. What are you going to do with Gaz? If we don't allow a player like that, and that's going to happen, that's happening. But what is your choice with Gareth? Just abandon him from every league?
I tell you what, I know nowadays, certainly in all sports, you know, everybody talks about psychology and this sort of thing, don't you? I mean, and as we mentioned, what Yessi said after the Salford performance, he said, "Challenge, you know, look yourself in the mirror." I wonder if anybody has really sat down with Gareth in a relaxed mood, and saying, "Well, Gareth, the talent what you've got, the quality what you are as a rugby league player, what you have got to offer, not just as an individual, and also too as part of a team environment. Realistically, what do you want to bring?" As an individual player, but also as a team.
That's exactly what happened at Wigan. I think the onus does rest a little bit with that.
He's got to take some responsibility, Phil. I agree in that. But honestly,
but there's also responsibility for the game to help him, because he obviously has issues.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And
if
we're serious about things like state of mind, then we obviously need to, and anger management or whatever it is that we think Gareth needs, then we need to support him. I think the issue, again, goes back to the fact that now we've changed the season, so we've only got 23 weeks initially to decide where your team plays. If you're going to be banned for 6, and don't forget he's also got another charge coming up again about social media, so it could be more than 6. If you're going to miss a quarter of the season, 2 games in, then that is a real issue. It might not have mattered so much under the previous system, under licensing. It certainly does now when you've got promotion relegation.
Yeah, it does. Let us know. Like I say, we're not here to throw the kitchen sink at him, but what do you think? I mean, is he in? Is that it now for him? We'll find out what we enjoy.
No, I mean, there's going to be a team when he's... You know, let's say that some of the rumours might be true and that later this week he may not be a Salford player. Then I think that the further you go down the line and you get one or two teams that are hovering around that 8th spot, want to be in the top 8 and not the middle 8, they would take a risk on Gareth Hall.
Well, that's the question then on Twitter. Would you have him at your club? Yes or no?
I think
that's
it depends where you are in the league table and what time of the season
it is. It's open to everyone, isn't it? If they would you have him? Would you have him down at Cass? Would you have him at Wakey? It could be the difference between, you know, finishing the 8th, finishing
9th, 10th. I can see a championship top 4 team. I'll tell you what,
on his day, Gareth Fox is the best second round we've got. There's no two ways about it. He's international class, but as Craig was saying, there's too much baggage for mine.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. RL on RY.
Can I just put a thing on there?
Of course you can, mate.
I actually, so he's just, no, I actually would take him. I actually said that, my opinion, you look at that, you look at Scowie's just done his previous games, you know all that information, you've got to take your recruitment takes that risk then. That's going to be, you don't be blaming somebody after you've done it. For me, you look at the record over the last 5 years and you make your call. If it happens a lot in this country, recruitment, there's not enough time put into that thing, is, and I think a lot of clubs have said they can change Gazzok, and I think Scowie's just asked the question whether people have asked that. I think they've all asked that. I think every club's looked at him in the eye and said, listen son, can we make you a better player? And I think what they're trying to do is maybe change from, they might not happen, you have to take what comes. Mm-hmm. In answer to your question, Mark, I would 100% take a Gazzok. 100%.
Right. Good stuff. Alan, oh no, it's not Alan, where is it? Den, he's not your mate, Gary, he's not your mate. He says he's fed up with you. You're still a Judas. He's got a Hull FC shirt on his on his profile.
I'll tell you
picture.
What. Tell
when did you leave Hull FC? How long ago is that?
Do we have to?
1987.
And also as well.
So years, and you're still unforgiving.
Yeah, 28 years. Let me just reply to that gentleman there. It's calling myself a Judas. Hull FC had to sell myself and Lee Crooks because of pure bad man management by the directors. By the directors. And let me just tell you this as well, Hull FC fans, from a point of view, they signed myself with a contract worth £22,000, they signed Lee Crooks with a contract worth £20,000, right? They sold a pair of us for £325,000. Don't be calling me a Judas.
Fair enough.
The club themselves made hell of a lot of money, myself and Lee Crooks. And at the end of the day, and I'll tell them now, myself and Crooks didn't want to leave Hull FC. We were sold because we were the only two assets to get them out of the mess. Financial mess what the directors created. Now grow up, Hull fans.
There you go. Well, you get you know, he's had his say, he's got his reply, fair enough.
I'd just like to say on that, if Scowie said 22, that's through the books, there'd have been £5,000 in boots as well, I think. So I'll just let that one be down.
Sorry,
Gary.
Craig.
He's an international director of coaching. You can't be saying stuff like that, are you?
Because in the days when we signed, you know, it was incentive contract. In them days, all clubs gave the same signing on fee. My signing on fee was £5,000, and then it was £1,500 for the A team, £1,500 for first team, and as it was. And I was lucky enough, you know, I'd say I didn't get the £1,500 because I didn't play A team football. So realistically, it was only £20,500, you know, my contract would work because I didn't play A team there. But that's what it was in them days, yeah, you know. So are you trying to say you don't have backhanders?
No, it's gone out of the game.
Move on.
Anyway,
he
can't be a Judas because he was coming home, wasn't he, by signing for Leeds?
No way. Yeah, whatever. There's not too many I'd have guests,
well,
it's fair to say. Darren just says no. You just tell us who you support, it says we're having to look on all your pictures. Alan says Gazzok needs a therapist. No, where I'd want to see him at Wakefield unless he sorts his attitude. Dig, who is a Cass fan, looking at his picture, he said no, I wouldn't want him. So we'll see. You know, the Locate group have been on. Would you agree Super League still behind the NRL in respect to class after the weekend? Scott, I think you've answered that already. A lot of people, Alan saying, oh, Wakefield can keep up our good start and win another game against a team liable to be in the mix. Will they go to witness at the weekend, Scoy, and you've tipped him up to win?
I've tipped him to win. It's on Twitter, you Wakefield fans. Get out there, get to the game. Scoy's tipped you by 5 points, and don't be blaming me if you're loser.
Wakey fans, so Gaz behaved at witness you to Kev Brown, his brother-in-law, and Dennis, who had him as a kid at Wigan. Michael is going to lay on Sunday, coach, full of London fans, hoping London don't get battered. Well, they did on Sunday, a game you could hear live here on Radio Yorkshire, doubleheader from the Championship. And Phil, we are big London fans. That's not a result we wanted to see, is it, really?
No, I think, again, in mitigation, they've not found the feet in this division yet. Three of their top players went off before the first half had even finished, both of their captains. And they played, let's not forget, an exceptionally good team in Sheffield. Nobody's talking about Sheffield, and they should be, because they are the team that has the best record in this division over recent years in terms of winning grand finals. And they're now playing on a wide pitch, which suits them. And they've made a couple of really good signings. And the more that nobody talks about them, the more of a threat Sheffield will become. And I reckon they could be the team that finish fourth in that division.
Daniel has been on. He hopes Sheffield get a win in Cumbria, as we said. They go to Whitehaven. If we play like we did against London, there's no problem at all. Craig, what do you make of the Championship?
the London debate actually acts on Bish. We actually sent Bish there when he was, what, about 19, Bish? 20. And we thought he'd get some good experience. Well, the best move we could have done for Bish at the time was go to London, because he was guaranteed a game. He could make mistakes, and there wasn't that much pressure on him. So we were learning all the time. I think he went down a revelation down there. My problem with London is, I'm trying to say this thing is, when they do the recruitment stage of things, even this year, I sent two lads up there, and when they talk about playing, and Joey saying to everybody, you know, we're going to play this brand of rugby. Have you ever watched the Championship? What you do not play fast-flowing, offloading, you're going to get bashed. You need some big enforcers. You're going to have to get a great half-back who can kick you around, because you're down the hill at Batley, you're at Whiting, you're at Cumbria. And what were coming out of their recruitment and out the type of rugby they wanted to play terrified me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, because that is... So my the scariness for me is I want to London here. I want to London as high as we can. I know we've tried it loads of times, but... We've got to get people in there, and I think Andrew Henderson went in from Sheffield. That would be good to actually say, look, we actually need to play a certain type of rugby. Because if they're going to get in the top four this year, they're definitely going to have to change that mentality and definitely bring a couple of bruisers in the front row or somebody who knows the Championship.
Ben, great experience for you going to London, playing Super League as a young kid, I guess, you know, and being under pressure every week.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the making of me, really. Yeah, I said, you know, Craig took me down there and Brian McDermott took a chance on me down there, and as I said, just being able to play week in, week out at Super League level, I think really enhanced my game. You know, coming through the Leeds Academy, the first team opportunities were very limited, and obviously, you know, it's great coaching there, but to be actually on the field and put in game situations week in, week out against Super League players, I think if you can get that experience, it holds you in good stead.
What about living down there? Was that an experience as well at your age? Did you need that to be away from home and independent and looking after yourself?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I'd been to university, so just after I'd finished university, so it was very similar, you know, living in a house, you know, with your mates. You go to training together, you know, you do a lot of things together, and the houses that they had were situated pretty close together, so, you know, I was in one house with Andy Ellis at the time, and then obviously I knew Luke Gale, who was in another house at the time as well, just across the road. So yeah, it helped you bond with with your teammates, and as you said, some of them were a bit homesick, and having the boys close by them, yeah, it was good.
Is that where you got, when you hurt your head? Is where you were at London? Because obviously anyone that's ever seen you, I must admit, I double take when you come in without your scrum cap on. I hadn't seen you
all the time.
But you obviously got a bad injury, didn't you? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, we were playing at the DW, playing Wigan, and early on I just clashed heads with Lee Mosser. I just really had a really bad headache, and then Pagliacina made a busting break down the middle, and you know, I managed to bring him down, and after that I was just struggling. Got through to half time, and Brian McDermott come over and said, are you alright? I said, no, not really. And he just looked at me like that and just put his finger right between my eyes, and he went, called the physio over, he says, he's got a hole in his head. And after that I was taken to hospital and dealt with.
Wow.
You want to travel with my head, guys? Willow, you look well.
All right, you look they cover me bald bit up though? That's a worry. I'm getting old now.
You look well.
It's my birthday today, anyway, where's my present?
Well, you never said that. I'll tell you what, next week, because I used to wear a head guard, I too, because I had a serious ear operation, and anyway, that's another story. But tell you what, next week I'll bring one in and present the show with the head guard.
Not a problem. Every Monday night, I'll do it. Not a problem. Where's it going to be? Is it going to be a Pakistan coloured one or a Czech Republic coloured one? Or
Keith Cougars? Yeah, could well be. I'm back down there on Sunday, the whole Senate Keefer. So yeah, I'll see if we can get one for you. So you look well.
Looking forward to it. Ben Jones Bishop with us. You can tweet us at RL on RY if you've got any questions for Ben. I think his eyes nearly popped out of his head when he saw that tweet about you being a Judas. He didn't quite know what to say. It was quite funny watching his reaction. You've already given your answer to that. Scully, some big games this week. Leeds Huddersfield Thursday night. We've got three live games on Radio Yorkshire. We're at Headingley on Thursday night for Leeds Huddersfield. We're at Saints Friday night, Saints Cass. And on Sunday, more Championship, Featherstone against the Bulls. But Leeds, Huddersfield, all of a sudden, this is becoming a big rivalry, isn't it?
We've had out, and I think for the last two seasons, the Giants have done the double over Leeds, haven't they? You know, so the Giants has not been the best of starts, but trying to get a bit of confidence back there. And I say they won't be frightened of going to Headingley. Danny Brough, normally the star man going there, kicks him to death and the creativity. So they'll go with plenty of confidence what's happened over the last 2 years. But I just feel as though Leeds are where they started out, and hopefully, you know, they won't be as conservative as what they was against Widnes. Maybe move the ball around a little bit quicker than what they did, rather than waiting around the hour mark and get the 2 points. But yeah, quite mouth-watering really. And the Saints, Casco in there. Castle will certainly be looking to go after it. It's a short turnaround for St Helens. I know everybody says, well, you know, it's a short. They may complain, Saints, if they get beat, because of the short turnaround, they're battling what they get sells. But yeah, Castle go there with plenty of confidence.
They will. Ben, Leeds, Huddersfield, it has become a bit. I think as Bradford have gone on the wane, if you like, the big West Yorkshire derby has been Leeds, Huddersfield, hasn't it, recently?
Yeah, we've had some great games. As I said, in the league, we've been on the bad end of results. Remember last year as well, chasing Danny Brough around the pitch as well, with his kicking exploits. So yeah, as you said, it's they'll go there with confidence, and Leeds are in good form. It should be a good game.
What's it like for you? Obviously you'll come up against certain halfbacks that are going to put you under pressure. Is it different when Brough's playing for the opposition?
Oh yeah, he's a tremendous kicker. You know, whether it's in his 10, bang on the 40, from the touchline, wherever he is on the field, you've got to be watching your sidelines, and also not only as a fullback but as a back three, your opposite two wingers have got to be working really hard and communicating with each other to try and stop him exploiting the space.
Huddersfield not had a great start, Phil. No wins yet. Signs, especially first half at Wigan, they were starting to click a little bit. Second half I thought they fell away, but this all of a sudden now, if they go 3 losses out of 3, is a bad start, isn't it? And I know they've had some tough games, but whoever you've played, Absolutely. That would go down as a bad start.
I think the worry for them more than anything would be that they've played 4 halves of football this year and not scored in 3 of them. And again, when you've got somebody like Danny Brough in your team, then that would be a worry. I think just on the kicking game, going back to the World Club Series, that to me was one of the most significant difference between the Australian teams and the English teams. The get-out kicks and the ability to land them in or around the in-goal area of the opposition was massive for the Australians. And we don't have people that can do that to sufficient quality enough. And Danny Brough is certainly one of the ones that can. They will relish going to Headingley. The interesting thing this round, I think, is for the teams that haven't played. So anybody who got momentum in the first 2 weeks, what have they done with a week off? Has it come at the wrong time? For those teams that haven't started so well, they've had an extra week to go back and repair some of the damage. So I'm not sure much of the form in the first 2 weeks will count for a lot. We're almost starting the season again this week, which makes it, I would think that Huddersfield would think that they've got nothing to lose now going to Headingley, whereas I think they've been disappointed with the first 2 performances.
Craig, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think I've been there for quite a lot of them over the last 6-7 years. I think the problem with Huddersfield is what the guys actually don't know. They're doing. They're all saying Danny Brough every 2 minutes. So it's sometimes like with Rangy, if they don't play, the team don't play, and that's dangerous. I know, Gary, you've been in halfback, and you might say, well, most of the forwards and that, if the halves don't play, you don't, that's what happens. But to me, the pressure on Danny Brough, if he has an off day and Huddersfield don't win, then it's, he decides yay or nay, which is dangerous to have one player having that control. I know with Casper Rangi, that were a dangerous thing for any team to have, where you're saying to one individual, if you don't play, we're going to struggle. And that throughout a season, unless you've got somebody who's a Jonathan Thurlston, a Lockyer, who can handle that throughout every game. I don't think we've got that type of halfback, certainly, who can handle that every game. That's why you sometimes get this inconsistency, and that's where. But I've listened to the lads already. We've mentioned Danny Brough. I'm sure the lads at this field are thinking, what about us? We can get, we have to get him in them positions. We're Leeds. I think that's why they've been so successful. They don't rely on anybody, do they? They're a team. You look at Leeds, that back line, when they go for it, you're scared to death. If it's a good night at Headingley and they start playing, you're like, oh, where's this? the threats coming from everywhere, and that for me will be the difference in this game, is if that's the mindset, it's Danny Brough v I'm on Leeds every time.
But at the end of the day though, the players you just made, and a good point as well, Craig, to be honest with you, the point is the players should be saying, hey listen, let's prove to people we're not a one man team, because quite clearly they are. We was there, you know, back end of last season, and Brophy, before they got knocked out by Carlin, to track Luke Robinson. Well, Luke can't create anything, you know. Holly, he's a bit of a support player, and that's about it. He can't get him around the field. The kicking game's nowhere near what it should be. But the other players should take on the responsibility and say, yeah, we'll prove to ourselves and prove to everybody we're not a one-man team. But quite clearly, they are. It's as simple as that.
What I think's interesting with Leeds this year, from the first two games that I've seen, is that Kevin Sinfield's playing like a standoff, not a loose forward who's playing in a standoff's jersey, because Adam Cuthbertson has given them a different dimension, because Kevin does seem to be standing one more further off the ruck. He's now dictating play and supporting play, and that will be a really interesting contrast between what he's doing and what Danny Brough's doing, I think.
Leeds for mine, Leeds by 14.
Alright, Phil?
I think Leeds will win, but Huddersfield do have this ability to really enjoy playing at Headingley under the lights, so I don't know if it'll be 14, but maybe just sneak Leeds. Okay. Everybody's fit.
Leeds, maybe 6 or 8. I think what they've done the last two is they against Widnes, they certainly just went through the sets, and then the last 20, same at OKR. I talked to a lot of people at OKR, said the last 20 Leeds just suddenly opened up, and when they open up, they're dangerous, and when they play off the cuff rugby, and yeah, you can't defend it. I think I once asked somebody at Leeds, one of the coaching staff, what's the strength that they don't have much structure. He said, well, that's the strength, because you can't defend it. So I think Leeds will get through sets, and then it lasts 20 minutes, they'll blow them away.
Yeah, okay, we won't ask Ben. We won't ask him to put his colours
on. Why not? Come on.
Don't bother.
I've got one for Bish. I wanted to ask him this for years. Just on the thing, Bish, who's the best player you've played with or against? Because I've never actually got a chance to ask you, but you've been at Leeds among all them great players for all that time, and I'm dying to see what you think.
It's a tough question, that. I think who I've been I don't know.
He's thinking now, how do I get a new agent? He's just asked me that live. He could have told me.
People. I was mentioning the leaders.
Ben, get out of it. Just say the best player I've ever seen is me, so you get out of it. Alright, there you go.
Were you alive when you were playing?
I don't know. I don't think he does now, to be honest with you, but anyway.
All right, I'll ask you
if he doesn't, I'll be watching him closely.
Who wins, Leeds or Huddersfield, then we'll ask you the easier one.
Leeds.
All right, good man, well done.
Who are you going for? Come
I
on.
Think, no, I, you know, and I said I hope Huddersfield would do well, and I do hope they do well, but I've got to be honest, based on what sort of Wigan, I'd have to go for Leeds.
Yeah,
fair
mate.
Enough. I don't know. I'm not bothered. I just say they'll win. Right, we've had loads of tweets in at RL on our way. Edward has been on, said, shame such a talent. Once wanted by most, he's now wanted by so few. I think he's on about Gareth Ock, not you, Scoey, there on that one. Chris says, somebody will be daft enough to take him, especially with no transfer fee involved. Again, I think they're on about Gareth Ock. There's not one person has come and said they'd have him, but a lot of people saying someone will have him.
As we said, in a nutshell, he's a talent, but can he keep that frustration in house? Time will tell.
I wonder if he regrets now not taking up that Parramatta contract.
Well, we'll
Never know.
We'll never know. We'll take some finding out. We'll see. I'm looking at the fixtures. I'm picking Warrington a little bit disheartened by their fixture this week. Catalan away on the back of that game on Friday night.
Another physical contest, as we've already said. Catalan certainly at home. They make it a fortress, and it's going to be very, very tough there. And I guess if Catalan was looking to play anybody this weekend, it would be Warrington, wouldn't it? After what happened last week, so. But it's always pretty tight. Warrington, week after their... I've got a fancy of the French guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, Catalan's by six.
Especially if Todd Carney does make his debut.
Yeah. What's wrong with him anyway?
He tore a calf.
So the week training. Off for them is been a good thing, hasn't it, at this stage? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Catalan, I know you think they're going to go well.
I do, but I think in rugby league there's a lot of bounce back ability, and when they've had a defeat, if you speak to lads, the team to have the best performance, and I think it's the opposite. I think Warrington will bounce back, and I think because Smithy will be on to them, I think they underperformed in that second half, and I think everything will be like, we're going to put things straight here and we show people. So I think, especially when they have a big game, like I always notice in rugby league, when something, I know with Cass playing St Helens, I'm sure they didn't want the Saints to win. And they said, oh, they're a bit complacent, we'll go there, we'll get somewhere. I think the worst thing Darryl does this morning is say, oh my God, they've got drilled, they've got done by 40, they're going to get absolute rinsed, it's going to be absolute on it, and so they're going to be absolutely on the ball this weekend. I don't know if that you...
Yeah.
That seems to happen in rugby league, Bish, a lot, does it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, you get a poor performance, you get a blasting from the coach, you know, you're disappointed in yourself and you want to put it right next week, and that's sort of where Salford's at the minute as well, you know, going into the fixture at the weekend. But yeah, I think it's commonplace after a bad result, you want to bounce back with a good performance and a victory.
You've played against Warrington already this season. What were they like up close?
Yeah, they're a very good team. I thought the first 25 minutes were very, very physical game. And then I think we just lacked a little bit of composure on the end of our breaks, and they had the composure and finished their breaks off well. I think that was the difference.
Okay, we'll go around the room and get the picks in a minute. You're obviously in action. You do need to bounce back as a team from your performance of the week. Do you feel under any more pressure, the lads?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we were positive after the Warrington game. I thought we put in a good performance, and you know, obviously the St Helens game was far below where we should be at. And as we said, you know, we're looking to bounce back and put in a good performance. You know, it's as everyone keeps going on about, every minute matters, and you know, we've still got no points on the board. So yeah. You know, we'll be looking to get those 2 points and get our season rolling.
Mm. It's a big game for Hull FC, isn't it, as well? They've had a decent start to the season, Scully, you know, but they'll be eyeing this one up as one, you know, maybe take advantage of a slow start to the season and get their second league win.
Without a doubt, and Craig...
They've conceded 7 points. Exactly,
and I know Craig was mentioning a bit of adversity, and I'll tell you what, Hull will be going there with plenty of confidence. They will be, and I'm sure the way that Lee Radford, you know, coaches, and the aggressive style he is, and from his management point of view, he'll be looking to making sure Salford, you know, their faces are still in that dirt. There's no two ways about it, and they'll be aggressive, and they will look to take the opportunities. They'll look for a bit of creativity again from the halfbacks. If Leon Price and Sneed can handle the pressure what Salford have put them under, sorry Ben Lab, I can only see one victory, and that's for Hull, and Hull by 7 for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Phil?
Well, it depends whether Jock McLaugh is going to play for Salford, whether Corey Patterson's fit again. Michael Dobson may be out injured. I think, again, Salford are at that stage where they've got a lot of new players and they're trying to gel. Hull are building on what they had last year, which was a pretty mean defence. And what they'll obviously be needing to do is just tweak their attack, which so far this season hasn't looked too bad.
No.
They had four players playing for Doncaster on dual registration yesterday.
It was 5, wasn't it?
5, so the likes of Steve Michaels will be pushing on the door, and once he's fit, he'll be an asset to this division. So I think whereas Hull have got perhaps an embarrassment of riches, Salford are still trying to find their best team. So be an interesting... Again, it being at Salford adds more pressure, I think, for Salford, because the last performance was at home, and all of the marketing that's gone into trying to get people into the stadium, all of the work that the players and the management have done to raise the profile, it'll only really work if you bring results with it, and it might be one of those weeks where actually Salford would be better playing at Hull.
Okay, fair enough. We spoke about Wakefield earlier on, big game for them at Widnes. You're a big Wakey fan this week.
Huge Wakefield fan. Huge.
Okay.
Huge. Wakefield by 5. Come on, Wakefield. Don't let me down.
Good man. Are you after another business lunch or something then, or what?
Never know. Michael Carter.
He listens. He does listen.
Anyway, Phil, who's going to Hull or Salford anyway? You didn't say Hull or Salford.
I think Hull will win, but I defer to the fact that we have somebody in the room that plays for Salford.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Scully's not bothered.
Listen, Ben's being open and honest like we all are here. Who are you going for, Craig? Come on, who are you going for? We're putting you on the spot here, mate. Who are you going for?
I always stick with my client. Bish Attrick, and I actually watched Hull and pre-season they played Doncaster, and when the young fullback Shaw come on, he absolutely just, it was phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen him that close up, and I watched him and I thought everything they did round the back, he created the gap, a bit like Catalans when you see a skate, when you think, if that were another fullback, would they have created that chance? I think if he's playing, I don't know if he got injured by the Huddersfield.
Yeah, Jamie Shaw, yeah.
He definitely looks the part, so, but I'm going to stick with my client and the Bish cake. He was tipped up, Bish, this year to be Super League's top try scorer.
And he is already.
And we are. I'm not going to say who tipped it. Show me the money.
Yeah.
So Salford by Salford by our money. Come on.
Salford by eight.
Okay.
Who are you going for, Mark?
I'm going to say Hull.
By our money.
A few.
Well, come on then.
Double figures. Sorry, Ben. He'll not come back again now. Well, I dare look at him now.
No, you're not sorry.
Stare. You should be even more worried.
Just quickly, because I want to chat about the championship as well. We're too live.
It's a Hull KR, but Hull KR's defence is a total mess, and reports by all accounts are working on that. But I think Wigan's defence will make sure that they'll take them out. Wigan by 14. Simple as that.
All right. Phil?
I guess it goes back to bounce back ability. If you believe that it won't have done Wigan any harm to have played in a really bruising game, and they'll want to prove that
on a very heavy pitch,
and they want to prove that they're slightly better than that, then I don't see any reason why Wigan wouldn't win. I think they probably will bring in maybe Ryan Hampshire, and that'll add some freshness in the backs as well. What was really admirable about the way Wigan played on Saturday was that they just never gave up. I'm sure Wayne's team don't, but it was particularly noticeable on Saturday that they hung in a game that really you'd thought after 60-65 minutes that they maybe would have been 20 points behind, and they very nearly won it because of that tenacity.
They've got a really good record at Hull KR. I think we did the game last year. Hull KR should have won, shouldn't
they? Should have
got a draw. Charlie scored, I think, right at the end, didn't he? Craig, do you think Hull KR can get their first win, or are they going to be remain winless?
I've got a lot of time for Jezzy, so sorry about this, Chris. I can't see any result apart from Wigan. I think even when they bring the youngsters in, they seem to be able to stand up and cope with anything thrown at them. In fact, I think from the Tompkins, when they choose in, they're sometimes stronger. When they have to put a young kid in, you think, oh my God, I don't think they'll have a problem. I think all KR are still finding the feet. Against Leeds, they look fantastic in attack, but obviously when Leeds opened up in the last 20, it were there. I know Warrington, I spoke to a lot of the Warrington lads when they put 40 on them to nil at Warrington, and I think the defensive issues will be, you're probably playing the most structured side in the country, so I think they'll find out where the holes are and they'll take them.
Yeah.
How many? Wigan by how many?
I think Wigan by 12 to 14.
Alright, Ben, playing against Wigan, they are structured. It's almost like you know what's coming, but they still take some stopping, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. I think with that shape, there's just so many options. You know, you can hit lead runners who are viable runners through gaps. There's out the back as well. There's the show and go, and I think that shape, as I said, there's so many options. And once a defence sort of thinks that they can handle it, they'll throw a different option out there as well. So yeah, it's especially on the back foot to defend against it is very tough.
Yeah, very tough indeed.
I tell you what, then, I might just have a bit of a question here for Bish.
Here we go.
And I know he may say
his lawyer present,
and he may say no we don't, but are you going to change your play rather than playing like Wigan, Bish? Are you going to keep playing like Wigan?
I think we play like Salford. We play our own style, you know. I think obviously it's similar to Wigan with Yestin coming from Wigan, but I think we add variations on it to sort of tinker it to our style. I think we're still working on it and working on different variations and things like that, but I think as we get going, as the games keep coming, you'll see different variations.
Is Junior Sal close to fitness?
I'm just a player, not a physio.
There you go.
He'll offer another dimension. He'll offer another dimension. He's got like straight back. Who should have him opening for England in the World Cup?
He's a great poker player, he's the main.
Yeah, very good. Please gamble responsibly. Bradford Bulls, 34-4 winners. Craddon nearly 5,000 score at Oddsall. Well, if you looked out your window, I lived quite near Oddsall yesterday, it was snowing. About 2:30.
It's always snowing at Oddsall, even in the middle of July. Mm. It snows.
That's a decent effort.
Yeah, great effort, because they wouldn't have brought many down, would they, Whitehaven? Yeah, so great effort there, and they're just what they needed. You know, obviously the conditions maybe not for Open Rugby League. may have wanted to win by more points, but yeah, they'll be happy with that. Got a win on the ball, and just breeds a confidence. It's as simple as that. Yeah, but yeah, the Bulls fans are turning out in many numbers.
They are. Craig, you made a good point earlier on about when you were on about London, about how you need a bit of biff, you know, up front, and a bit of grunt. And did they fall for the old 5-card trick at Leon the day one? Because it seemed like they were winning the game, and then they got lured into a bit of niggly stuff, and all of a sudden they end up going home with their tails between their legs.
Who was the most niggly play you've ever seen, Jimbo? Jimmy Lowes, were you today one of the best? I think Jimmy's got it handled. I think, if anything, it probably did him good. Sometimes you can learn more in a defeat and what happened in that last 25 minutes. I think Jimmy will get him there. If you said to me, does Jimmy and Bradford know what it's going to take to win that league? I think they have. I think they recruited well and they did it in the proper manner. I think they've got some nice youth players to come through, and I think they've got a coach who, if it's a dogfight, is going to know every single thing to do to get that game and win it. So I'm massive on Bradford, a friend of the chairman. I've got a lot of time for him, and they're trying to do things in the right manner, and that means a lot to me. And as I said, I think if there's one person who, if Jimmy can't see what's going to happen down the hill at Batley and White Ames, he's seen it all before. And as a player, he came through the hard way. I think he left Diggle Leeds, Tunslet, and then he couldn't have had better people. He's got Carl Harris and he's got John Bastien. He's got the right people there around that club to know every single thing. So I'm massive on Bradford.
Yeah, and he's got Lee Gaskell, who scored a hat trick.
Yeah, talented player. Double headed down at the Keep. Well, we were there live yesterday, Phil. Both games live here on Radio Yorkshire. Featherstone narrow winners over Doncaster, and a great win for Sheffield. I know we touched on them earlier, but there is some strength in the Championship now, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. No, my only worry, as we said right at the very beginning when we were previewing it, was the fact that full-time teams tend to have bigger squads, and as the competition goes on, that probably will be important. But the way you look at it at the moment, you've got to be impressed with Doncaster's start. I think they felt that they'd thrown that game away yesterday, that they could have won it. But you've got to credit Featherstone for sticking in there and doing enough to win. Batley have started well. And again, who would bet against the John Keir team in a one-off situation? Dewsbury won. Terribly unfortunate that their game was called off with, you know, having gone all the way up to working.
Seen other conditions.
Yeah, but you just wonder why they were made to travel all that way before calling it off early on Sunday morning, stopping them travelling.
Phil's just said a good thing there. He's saying the full time squad's against, but then remember you've got the dual reg issue where the full time clubs haven't got the dual reg.
Yeah.
And if you're bringing 150 grand's worth of player into your team every single week, you know, a lot of money, that seems to even it up a little bit, I think. I know Batley, actually, John Keir, if I'm right, said to me this year, I'm not taking any dual reg players on. I don't know if he does that. If he can do that and have success, well, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
Just looking, and again, you know, I feel we're two games in and we're already looking at games that we feel are going to be pivotal to who gets in that top four. Batley play Halifax, it's Featherstone Bradford, Hunslet Dewsbury, Lee against London, Whitehaven Sheffield, Workington against Doncaster. Some big games there in the Championship already, and I think, you know, this every minute matters thing, well, we're going to find out, aren't we? Michael said, Craig, you're right about London needing hard forwards. He said the same when we met him last year in a pub before a Broncos game. Hang on.
That might have been between the pub. I'm not known for my drinking exploits. No, I did actually know. I met Michael there, and the travel all over the country following London, and I've done for many years. And he asked me the question, and over a couple of pints, I actually said, I hope that they get that bit right, because it scares me to death. Yeah. That when you go away from home, if you can't look round the coach and see two or three who you'd go over ill with, you've got massive problems, and that will be the undoing, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ben's getting a bit of stick here from Steve, a Cass fan. He said, if you're not playing like Wigan and not winning, maybe it's time to start playing like Wigan. We don't expect you to answer that, pal. Joe, it said... you sorry?
They said there are no points at all.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I think they've got.
I like it. Get it scared. Come on, Wakefield.
Joe said he's open to a whole win, although I'd rather not count our chickens just yet. The early bird said they'll win it on defence alone. There's a spirit at the club, which is not at Salford at the moment. He thinks they're going to win. So you're not getting much support here, Ben. I feel quite bad now for not supporting you, actually, as one of our guests. But hey-ho, plenty of tweets coming in tonight. It's let's have a look. Toddy says, do we know where York City Knights are playing their home games?
Oh, big mates with John Guildford. They're hoping the deal will be done pretty quick, or it'll be an amateur club where they've been playing the two friendlies so far.
Okay.
I'll try and tweet the details to you, Mark, to let everybody know.
Yeah, get them out there, yeah. And the Sussex branch of Hull listening down near Gatwick. That's the early bird listening. So great. Loads of interaction tonight. It's growing week on week. We're here every Monday, 7 till 9. Three live games on Radio Yorkshire this weekend. Leeds Huddersfield Thursday, Saints Cast Friday, and Featherstone against the Bulls on Sunday. And then our TV show, Last Tackle, as well. Do check that out on Twitter. It's available on YouTube. We try to spread the word a little bit in the rugby league world. And, well, let's be fair, Scotty. Now you're an international coach. We need to get you some branded gear or something to, you know, get the word out there.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Any freebies will be nicely taken on board. But as I say, I'm at Keighley next Sunday. Looking forward to the hospitality again.
Yeah, it's a League One Cup.
Surely you'll be supporting East Leeds, being an East.
No, I'm from other side of the river. I'm mostly Parkside lad. Not a chance. Plus, as well, Keighley looking after me hospitality wise, so not a chance. Come on, Keighley. Good stuff. Cougars.
Good stuff. We've got 90 seconds left. Any shocks this weekend, Sky?
I just made Cass may get it. Cass may get it at Saints.
Okay.
Cass may get it at Saints.
Phil?
I'd just like to say welcome to Coventry Bears. It's their first official game. They're playing in the League One Cup away at Oldham. Good luck to them. I hope they do all right.
Good stuff. Craig?
I'm going to have a look. Sorry for being
it's all right.
Well, 2 seconds.
Well, while you're having a look, we'll thank Ben Jones Bishop for making the effort to get here, braving the traffic. We do appreciate it. And we hope your season gets off and running. And from Craig's point of view, we hope you score loads more tries. Yeah,
thanks for having me.
No problem. It's great to have
I don't think it's a shock because even Scully's turned on him, but I think Wakefield will get a result up with us. I don't know if that's a shock. Would you say it's a shock, lads?
No,
they've got a good record.
Yeah, they have. They have got a good record on the old plastic pitch.
And the little genius will perform again. That's Mick Shane, who's had actually two very good games so far. So here's a little plug for my lads.
Very good, very good. That's it. It's as far as we go. 9 o'clock. We're talking football after nine here on Radio Yorkshire. It's been another great week of rugby league. Nice to chat with Ben. Thanks for coming in, Craig, Phil, and Scully, as always. The new director of coaching for Pakistan Rugby League. Well done, pal. You get all the good gigs. In one, a Czech Republic Rugby League t-shirt.
In two,
matchday hospitality at the Keighley Cougars.
In three,
a free lunch at the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats Business Club.
And Scully's special prize.
A day out at Chester Races with Dr. Marwan Kukash.
This is Super League Review on Radio Yorkshire.